love that song. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews. Thank you very much, Andrew and Madison. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 5. And Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll read verse 9, and you read verse 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we may have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And let's pray together. Father, please help us as we look into your word, Father. Strengthen us, Lord, so we can bring glory to your name and live for you. Lord, we need your help. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. And Lord, we just ask for you to be honored. Amen. You can have a seat there. And as you look at this passage here, I like hunting. I know hunting isn't for everybody, but there's nothing vegan about me. Amen. If I could have a big steak or a big salad, I'll pick the big steak. You say, do you hate? I don't hate salad. I just like meat better. Amen. And at the Shooters Expo, they give you a 2-pound elk burger. It's that thick. It's bigger than the bun. It's awesome. And I said, this is such a man's activity. All the men are sitting there eating these huge burgers. And I said, if the women were here, they'd go, oh. And the men would say, what do you mean too? You can't have too much meat. So I do like meat. And I think if you believe in eating meat, then you should eat meat. I know that sounds goofy, but when you read this, look at verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. He wants to teach them about Melchizedek. And there's a wonderful story of Melchizedek, the Old Testament priest, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the appearing. And he says, I want to teach you the deeper things. He says, I can't because you're dull and you can't. He said, you're immature spiritually. I can't teach you deeper things or spiritual things because you have need of milk. And when you keep on reading it, watch this. It says, for when the time ye ought to, verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which being the first principles of the oracles of God. If you want to know where those first principles are, they're in Hebrews 6. Starts the first four verses of the next chapter. There used to be six principal Baptists. That was the name of the churches. When people said, what type of a church is this? They would say, we're six principal Baptists, and we pull it from Hebrews 6. And there's six principles there that are foundational and basic. He said, you don't even understand the first principles of Christianity in the New Testament. And he says here in verse, he says, and you're become as such as had need of milk and not of strong meat. And then just notice the milk and the meat verses here. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is my starting verse this morning, and I think you've heard me describe milk. What's the difference between milk and meat? Milk is pre-digested food. I don't care if you get it from a cow. I don't care if you get it from a goat. But milk is what a mother produces from the food she's eaten so that the baby can digest what's being given to it. That's milk. It's pre-digested food. And he said, so you say, what am I doing this morning? This morning's message is milk. I'm going to take some Bible verses that I've meditated on, that I've thought about, that I've prayed over, and I'm going to give you the result. That's milk. It doesn't matter how heavy it is. It doesn't matter how doctrinal it is. When I read the Bible, all preaching and all teaching secondhand coming through a person, which is God's plan too, is milk. Everybody understand? It's spiritual food that has been digested and prepared so that you don't have to work at it, right? All right? So it's easy to digest. Think about what meat is, okay? These Christians are being reproved because they can only handle milk. But they've been saved for a while, and they should be able to eat meat. But because they don't read their Bible, they can't grow. Meat is your ability to take by your work and cut a piece off. Then you put it in your mouth, and then you, what we call masticate or chew, and you break it down. Your saliva goes into the meat, helps separate it and break it down some more, right? And then you swallow it. And then the hardest work is still to be done by your body. It goes into your stomach, and then digestive juices and acids break it down more so that it can eventually be given to your body as energy, right? That's meat. And he says, some of you can't work for yourself. You can't read the Bible and cut off a piece and chew it and meditate on it and pull nutrients out of it spiritually for yourself. You can't handle that. When you read the Bible, it doesn't mean a lot to you. It's the Bible. You don't hate it. You don't dislike it, but you don't get anything out of it. You can't handle meat. The only thing you can handle is, and that's why you should want to grow spiritually, so that what? Eventually, if you're around good Bible preaching and good teaching enough, through you reading your Bible, you can read your Bible and get things out of it for yourself. That's eating meat. That's eating meat. Here, these Christians, I think this is a wonderful passage because God is correcting them, saying, most of you have been taught so much, you need to be teaching someone else. What you're given in Sunday school, what you're given in church, what you're given in preaching isn't just for this week. It's eventually so you can take what's been given to you and you pass it on. That's why everybody should be working to be a teacher. Isn't that what it says? He said, some of you have been taught so long, you should be teachers, but you can't. You have need that somebody teach you again because you're not learning right. Your attitude isn't right. Here we go. I think if you believe in eating meat, I'll start again with my phrase, then you should eat meat. If you say that you're a Bible believer, then you should read your Bible, okay? People read books about the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. People watch movies and DVDs about the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. And if we could just get the average American to read their Bible. And here's what's sad, and you've heard me say it before. But if the only time you open your Bible is Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're hurting. That's only 2 days out of the week, Sunday and Wednesday. You still got Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. When does your Bible open up? When do you look for God to feed you? It ought to be every day. I need, and I'll show you why you should want that. Here, milk and meat is kept. Now, take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy 17. Go to the fifth book of your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. You've heard me say several times, I think the average American expects when they pick up their Bible to read it like a novel. And God never intended you to read your Bible like a newspaper or a novel. When I'd sit down to read books in high school, you know, and had to read it for a book report, you know, I would do this, you know, and follow my finger all the way through, you know, and I'd keep on, you know, and then focusing until finally you had to come up for air, and then you'd do it some more. You're not supposed to read your Bible that way. How do you read the newspaper? Read the column real quick, you know, you scan through it, and it's made so your eyes have to do very little movement on that narrow column for the fastest reading. Then when people pick up their Bible, they actually expect, and they read their Bible with no thinking. I know you know what it says, but they don't, and your Bible was intended to be read and then thought about, and read and thought about. But if you read this like a newspaper, I got news for you. You get nothing out of it. It's a joke because you haven't been taught to properly read your Bible and get something out of it and let it mean something to you. Look at Deuteronomy. Look at verse chapter 17. Look at verse 15 and watch what a king was supposed to do. Thou shalt, Deuteronomy 17, verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set a king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Watch verse 18 very carefully. And it shall be, when he, the new king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. I think it's very interesting. In these days, if you went to church, what we would call church, you couldn't touch a Bible. Nobody had a Bible. It was in the synagogue, and it was read to you, but you didn't touch it. Nobody could touch it. But God said, if there's going to be a ruler among God's people, then that ruler needs to go look at the book, can't touch it still, but he's to write his own copy of the whole book of Deuteronomy, all the chapters. And then he's to carry that book with him as a king his whole life, and he's supposed to read it all the time. He had a Bible that he had copied, the king did, and there's not one history of any king in Israel ever doing. I think that's interesting. If you're going to rule over God's people, what does God say should be the premost way thinking in your mind? His word, right? So when nobody else could have a copy of the Bible, the king could. I think that's interesting. Watch this. He wasn't just supposed to read, he was supposed to write a copy of it and carry it. How should he read it all the days of his life? If you already have a Bible reading plan, now let me just apply this to us. The average Christian doesn't have a plan on reading their Bible. The average Christian, when they look at a book and we say, okay, now that you're saved, read your Bible. I didn't read a book in high school this big. You understand? I didn't read a book in high school that was half this big. You look at a book this big, it's even thin pages. There's more here than meets the eye, right? And if you're not a reader, it's even more intimidating. It's almost depressing because it's like, well, that's something I'll never do. That's what. So it would be nice. I only find this. You only make it through 1,189 chapters if you have a plan. And this is the average one that lasts for about 2 weeks with the New Year's resolutions. You know, oh, Lord, wherever you want me. Okay. You know, just the chance opening it wherever it falls. That's where I'll read today. That only works for a little bit. And then you get discouraged and you quit. We've got several Bible reading plans, and I think every person needs a plan to read your Bible. I've taught several times, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. You should read one chapter of Proverbs a day for every day of the month. In other words, today is the 28th, right, of December. So that would tell you to turn to Proverbs 28. Read Proverbs 28. You could start in Psalm, just called the day plus 30. You could start in, today's the 28th day of December. You could start in, then you'd go to Psalm 28, read Psalm 28, then go 30 chapters over, which is 30 plus 28 is 58, then 88, and you would read 5 chapters in Psalms. And you'd read 1 chapter in Proverbs and 5 in Psalms every day. Then you would do some Old Testament reading, wherever it is you want to read. And you could start through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start there and read. I'll give you a suggested number here. We do have the church calendar, which is not ready this year. We have had one ready for 2 years, so it's just moved over a day. So use last year's, you can still use, amen, if you'd like to use that. There's the year reading schedule that's on the back thing where the tracks are. It's the yellow book. That's a Bible reading plan. Did you know if you read 10 pages a day, it puts you through your Bible in 3 times a year? Did you know if you read 27 chapters a day, it puts you through your Bible 7 times in a year? You say, how do you do 27 chapters? I heard one person talking about they read 9 chapters in the morning, 9 chapters at noon, and 9 chapters in the evening. 9, 9, and 9 is 27. And they read through their Bible 7 times a year. Whatever your plan is, you need a plan. Why should you read God's Word all the days of your life? Look at verses 19 through 20. Ready? It says here, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And he gives you 5 things here. 1, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. 2, to keep all the words of this law and the statutes to do them. 3, verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. Number four, it's right there in the middle of verse 20, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So when you read God's word, the first thing, why? Here's another question I get as a pastor. I've already read it once, but I got to read through again. Well, you don't do that with your bed. I mean, I made it once. Why do I have to make it again? You know what I mean? We don't apply that. You read the Bible. It's an eternal book. It's not like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Black Beauty or your, you know, Blackbeard's Treasure or whatever. It's an eternal book. You can't read it too much. You're supposed to read it and reread it and reread it. You read it over and over again. We're supposed to read it so we're taught to fear the Lord. Listen to these verses on fear. What is the fear of the Lord? Job 28:28 says this, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." So with the fear of the Lord being wisdom and hating evil, then when I read Proverbs chapter 1, I find this. You know what? Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. I know you're in Deuteronomy there, and we're kind of using that as the outline. But watch this. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. So I'm supposed to read my Bible so I can learn to fear the Lord. And let's find out what that means. Ready? Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs, right after Psalms. Look at verse 24. God says, "Because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you've set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose." Key word, the fear of the Lord. "They would not of my counsel, they despised all my reproof." The fear of the Lord is wisdom and hating evil, and it's a choice that I have to make as a Christian. I have to choose to fear the Lord. That comes, I get the strength from that as I read the Bible. I'm reminded to fear God and to choose wisdom and to hate evil. There's things I'm supposed to hate. Proverbs 23:17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." If you don't read your Bible, here's what's going to happen. You're not reminded to fear the Lord, so you see what the world has, and you see all that the world is pushing before you, and you start envying sinners. And you don't choose the fear of the Lord and reject the evil. You start saying, "Well, how come I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have that, and they got that, but I don't, and how come?" And you have to choose to fear the Lord. And there is pleasures that come with sin for a season. Sin is designed to be enjoyed for a season, and then the regret comes. When I read my Bible, it reminds me to choose. I have a choice to make. And my sin is not God's fault. My sin is my fault. And it's because I didn't make the right choice. But I wasn't reminded when I read my Bible to fear the Lord because I didn't read my Bible. And I don't have the strength to do so. Choosing to fear the Lord. When you read God's word, it gives you power to choose the fear of the Lord. Reading God's word charges your spiritual battery so you have energy to do right. Reading your Bible gives you strength to choose what is right. Now this morning, we said you read the Bible so you can learn to fear the Lord. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 19, it said the second reason you read your Bible is to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. To do them. To keep means to guard and protect. To do means obedience. When you read your Bible, it becomes your measure of truth that you know. Unless you know it, you can't. I know this is simple. Unless you know it, you can't live it. The Holy Spirit does not act on ignorance. And if you haven't read it, the Holy Spirit doesn't call it to your remembrance. That's why you have to read it for God to call it to your right. Jesus, the Holy Spirit will call all the words of the Lord to your memory. But how can he do that when you haven't read it? The more you read the Bible, the more you learn it, and you can recognize error. If you would read your Bible, you would learn the author. If you don't read the Bible, all that you'll know about God is what somebody else tells you. That one thought ought to terrify you. If I couldn't read, That'd be the most scariest part about not being able to read, which would push me to read. Amen. Some can read better than others. I realize that. But if I couldn't read, what scares me is, you mean the only thing I can know about God is what you tell me. That's why the pilgrims used to tell their kids, the greatest skill you can work for, and it does take a lot of work, but the reason you should want to read is for yourself, right? How many are graduating high school now? What was it in Boston 2 years ago? We read the stats, 93% graduated without being able to read. That's in Boston? Oh, Baltimore. I'm sorry, not Boston. It was Baltimore. I only started with that. But that was just an hour and 45 minutes from us. If a generation can't read, how can they know God, right? And that's what we're dealing with. That's the most terrifying part of it. And I know it ain't just happening in Baltimore. It's happening all across the country. But that should terrify you. When you don't read the Bible, you think God is like you, right? Yet God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I don't think like you. I don't love like you. For you to know me, you have to read this book. You cannot perceive me without it. Well, yeah, you know, but the way I think is, that's why you disagree with God on hell. That's why you disagree with God on capital punishment. That's why you think homosexuality verses are too strong, because your own mind has come into play with your emotions. You have to read the book. There is no hope of you knowing God without reading the book. When we read the Bible, if you don't read the Bible, you think God is like you. People who don't know the book will say something, and then they think God agrees with it just because they said it. Have you ever met those people out soul winning? There are things that God did in the Bible that I don't like, but God's never wrong, right? Think with me just for a second. It's okay to disagree with God as long as you know he's always right, right? I hope, yeah, amen. Say, yeah, amen. Do something. Shake your head. You can disagree with God as long as you know God's right. You can disagree with, let's reverse it. You can disagree with God as long as you know you're wrong, right? That's a good way to think. Here we go. Think with me just for a second. If you were to decide who is to be put to death between these two people, who would it be? Would it be somebody who murdered someone or someone who picked up sticks on the Sabbath day? We'd pick the murderer, right? Did you know in the Old Testament, someone who gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, Saturday, was put to death? Well, I disagree with God. I don't know why God said it, but God's never wrong, and God's always right, and I'm always wrong, right? So you can disagree with God. How about this? If you could pick between the death, who was to be put to death between these two people, an adulterer or someone who took God's name in vain? We'd pick the adulterer, right? Did you know in the Bible, the one who took God's name in vain? Now, the adulterer also was put to death, but the one who took God's name in vain, they were put to death. There's many murders in the Bible that God didn't execute. We spoke about one this morning a little bit. We'll learn about more next week. Cain's a murderer that God didn't execute in the Bible. David murdered someone and was not put to death in the Bible. Moses murdered someone and was not put to death. But when someone dishonored the Sabbath in Leviticus, God killed him. Okay? When you read the Bible, you learn things about God, the author of the book. Is it okay to kill innocent people? The answer is, and for us to do so is no. Did God ever kill any innocent people in the Bible? Let's take the book of Job. The whole house fell on his kids, right? How about this? Out of all the people that could get cancer every year, I would make sure it was people that did wrong and hated God and hurt people, right? Just think with me just for a second. Out of all the people that die with cancer, if it was up to me, I'd make sure, like, you know, I heard the story of a pastor's wife dying of cancer. I'd make sure a pastor's wife never got cancer, right? But God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than you. And that's the way you think, but that's not the way I am. I cannot know God unless I read his word. When you read your Bible, God doesn't seem unreasonable or inconvenient. And Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I just learned this as being a Christian. The more you read your Bible, the less inconvenient God is. The more reasonable God is, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. For you to serve God is if you're reading your Bible. It's unreasonable because you've got your life to live and you've got things to do and you've got your goals and you've got to get this accomplished. If you're not reading your Bible, God's not in the forefront. This is just a big pain. It's just something more, you know, the church salute, you know, McDonald's, you know, or wherever, wherever they're going. Here we go. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's go back there. Let's look at the third reason here. Ready? Why should you read your Bible? Deuteronomy chapter 17 and look at verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. There's only three hearts in the Bible that were lifted up in the Bible. Hezekiah, Uzziah, and Lucifer. And all three of them, right before they were destroyed, their heart was lifted up in pride. And then they were destroyed. That teaches me something. When you read your Bible, it strengthens your humility. It's so you don't think more of yourself than you should. Everybody, I know you're in Deuteronomy. We'll come back to Deuteronomy 17 if you want to keep your finger there. Can you go to the New Testament? I just want you to see Romans chapter 12. God said, when a king over my people, for him to think right and to do right, he has to write a copy of the Bible, carry it with him, and read it all the days of his life if he's going to be a proper leader over my people. Why? The third reason is so his heart doesn't get lifted up. Look at Romans chapter 12, look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what you become without your Bible? A monster. My heart's wicked. And the thing I'm prone to the most is pride. And you know what keeps me humble? What feeds my humility strength is when I read the Bible, I'm reminded of the evil of my heart and how much I need the Lord and how much I need to rely upon him. And the further away I get from my Bible, the prouder I become. And the more lifted up in my eyes I become. That his heart not be lifted up. Read your Bible to feed your humility. Every man in the church, I think it's interesting, Romans 12, is told, be careful you don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Why would God say that? Because that's what we're prone to. You ever notice when somebody starts talking about their accomplishments? Well, I've done this and this. The natural tendency, I think it's, maybe I'm the only one that struggles with, so this might be. But the tendency is to say, oh yeah, well, I've done this. Oh yeah, well, I shot this deer one. Oh yeah, well, I shot a deer that was bigger. And the accomplishment, every man is told, when you get saved, you work at not thinking more highly of yourself than you should. All of us have an ego. Every wife learns that about her husband. Amen? And if you want a husband with no ego, Lego my ego. If you want a husband with no ego, you end up with a noodle, right? Just a, you know, just, I mean, he just mops the floor constantly behind her. Okay? You want a husband with an ego. But learning how to control that and keeping it in check, that only comes one way. Feeds the humility to where, Lord, I know she thinks, Lord, you and I both know I didn't. But Lord, could you let her know? Amen. And you learn to pray that way, that he think not more highly of it. Because our mistakes, every time we get proud. You reading your Bible? Read your Bible every day. Feed that human. You don't want your heart to lift it up. We're supposed to. You want to know a sign of good Christianity? When we all start esteeming each other better than ourselves. They have something they can teach me. They have something. Everything. Look, we're all sinners, right? They have something they can teach me. They have something. I need to look for it. Why are they in my life? God put them in my life for me to learn from. We're supposed to eventually esteem everybody better than ourselves. Then we don't mind serving each other, right? That comes from, once again, your Bible. Reading your Bible. Watch this. Go back to Deuteronomy. Can you believe it? We're on number 4. Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 20 again. Why should you read your Bible? Let's just read verse 20 again here. Deuteronomy 17, verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I like this. Number 4. When you read your Bible, it gives you strength to not turn to the right hand or to the left, but to keep doing right. And you'll find the less you read your Bible, the less strength you have to obey. It's like this fills the tank. It fills you and strengthens you so you can say yes to right and you don't deviate to the left or the right from what God wants you to do. When you read, I'm going to make a strong statement. Let me preach this morning. When you read your Bible, it's church is no longer an option. It's not up for grabs. I'm going this way. Who taught you to, when I read, I want to be like the Lord. He's influencing me, right? There's no variables, neither shadow of turning with the Lord, right? God doesn't change. God, you don't have to wonder what God believes tomorrow, right? He ain't changing. Aren't you glad? If I want to be like the Lord, I get that stability when I read His Word. He gives me strength to not turn to the left hand. My stability comes. You start learning something about the wonderful Christian life. Everything centers around everything. My success, my growth, everything centers around that book. It feeds you spiritually so you can keep from falling. It gives you strength to keep your eyes focused on the Lord so you don't waver. And if you're wondering how, think about this just for a moment. That book, if you've got a King James Bible in your hand, is the book that saved you. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. That book is what saved you. No, Jesus saved me. Jesus is that book, if it's a King James Bible. That's why that book is so powerful. That's why it strengthens you when you read it. You have to read it. How about this? God tells us the Word of God is Jesus. We've looked at that before. He is the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. Your Bible is the written Word of God. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 8:32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. Who? Him. Through this. And the truth shall make you free. And then John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Because you've read the book. You know the truth. This is not normally applied to memorizing Scripture. But memorization of Scripture is not what prevents one from sinning against God. Okay, go to Psalm 119, verse 11. That he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I've always heard this since I've been saved. The man that helped me memorize Scripture on ship, he was a Navy corpsman and I was in the infantry, and he taught me how to memorize the Bible. He said, the more Scripture you memorize, I don't know why he said this. If you ask me for a Bible verse to back it up, I can't. He just said, the more verses you memorize, the more God will use. Well, here I'm a young Christian. I hadn't been to church yet. So I started writing down verses. My pocket was filled with pieces of paper with Bible verses written on them. I'd pull them out, pull my rubber band off, and start reviewing my verses. He must have told me that 3 or 4 times in 6 months. He said, the more Scripture you memorize, the more God will use. What was he saying? The more you put the Bible in you. That makes sense. Then the more God can. Okay. I don't know that more people get saved, but I know I got to see a lot of people saved. So maybe that's one reason why. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But memorizing Scripture. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Watch verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Looks like the more Bible verses you memorize, the more you can read the Bible and memorize the Bible and get the Bible in your heart, the more it'll help you do what? Say no to sin and help you live according to the Word of God. You can't hardly talk. I know we put it on the back of the bulletin, how to memorize Scripture. Normally when you show people that, unless you emphasize it, they go, something else? Because everybody wants you to know what's going on. TV, right? Internet, series that are being watched. Your memory is a muscle. And the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And the less you use it, the weaker it gets. Have you noticed that? It's a muscle. Could I just encourage you? When you find a Bible verse that you're reading, my goodness, mark it down and memorize it. Commit it to memory. We've asked the question here before. If they took the Bible from us, how much Bible would you have in your recall? How much of the Bible would you have if they burned your Bible? They have another kind. Okay? Watch this. The power of memorizing. When you saturate your mind with the Bible, it gives strength to your new nature to overcome the lusts of the flesh. The Word of God soaks into the heart, and your decision-making is profoundly influenced. The heart is the center of our being. It's the seat of our will. It's the command center of our lives. And when the Word of God soaks down into the heart from a mind saturated with it, the human heart won't choose to sin against God. It has strength to say no to sin. The opposite is true also. When the heart is void of the law, or has a low level of God's word, it really has no strength but to say yes to temptation. The Bible is powerful this morning. It is the Word of God. The weakness of modern Christians is the bite-sized absorption we've been led to think that is acceptable. I can tell you this. What are we told to do in the Bible? Okay, I can back this up with Scripture. Just watch. We're told to read the Bible. We're told to sing the Bible. We're told to study the Bible. We're told to memorize the Bible. And what did I tell you in Sunday school? What are we told to do most with the Bible? Meditate on it, right? To get a Christian in America to do the other four things, we're just so glad somebody's reading their Bible. When you tell somebody, now you need to study it. What? I'm supposed to live in that book? Pretty much, yeah. If you want to be a happy Christian, you're going to have to, because living outside of it makes you miserable. And there's case after case. I love to teach how to study your Bible, how to read your Bible. But you'll notice we're so distracted, and the devil has so many distractions to keep your mind active. I don't care if it's weather or politics or immigration or pick any aspect. They want you distracted. When can you, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But not until then. When you decide what occupies your, when you decide, no, I have my job. Because I have to live on this earth, but I don't live for my job. I live for the. I belong to God. He is my life. It is then the Bible starts helping you because it becomes an important part of your life. Watch this. Go back to Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 20. We'll close with this, okay? We're going to go to one other place other than this, but this is the last thought. Ready? Deuteronomy 17, look at verse 20. Let his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. That was 3. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left. That was 4. And 5 is to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. He and his children in the midst of Israel. God says many times, and this is a whole Bible study on itself. When you read the Bible, it prolongs your days. Let me just tell you in a nutshell what that means. That means there was a time you were born, and there's a time on God's calendar right now when you're going to die. And the more righteousness you do, the more God moves that marker. And the more sin you do, it does what? Shortens your days. It shortens it. Only God knows that date. The Bible says, God says, I want you to read it to prolong your days on this earth. It gives you life. Isn't that amazing? What is death? Death is when your body gets so tired that eventually it stops, right? Whether it's the heart or organs or whatever, it's just get wore out, right? That when you read your Bible, take your Bible, and this is the last verse we'll go to. Go to John 6, verse 63. Beautiful verse to think about. Why should you read your Bible? There are several reasons. I like making this statement. It's one of the most important things in your life. That if you lose your love for God, nothing else matters. It's just rigmarole, right? The rat race. The Lord is what gives sense and stability to life. Look at John 6:63. Watch this. I think it ought to be marked so you can look at it later. But Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What a verse. These words, when you read them, it puts life. It's the only thing you do on this earth that puts life back in you. You know what? We live in the universe is dying. It's a closed system, okay? You say, what do you mean by that? That means nothing can be put into the universe that extends its life. It's closed. Like, for instance, the earth is spinning slower and slower each year. Okay? That means it used to spin faster. The moon is getting farther from the earth every year. Okay? But little by little. The sun is shrinking. It's getting smaller and smaller. You say, how do you know? Well, they measured it. Well, how'd they do that without getting burned? That's easy. They did it at night. Okay, never mind. I'm just telling you that was a joke. I'm glad you were listening. The sun, it really is. It's getting smaller every year. It's a closed system, okay? The Word of God is the only thing in this world that gives you access back to the life to be put into you that does what? Lengthens your life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is my only source of life on this earth till I get to heaven. Reading your Bible is so important. If this morning I wanted to, I know we're at the close of the year. I don't know what your plans are until Jesus comes. Might be next year, might be tomorrow, might be tonight. Amen? But if If what I've said has overwhelmed you, and it's like, I don't have a plan to read my Bible, could you ever just take one book? See me afterwards. Take the book of John. Read it every day for a week. That's 21 chapters. That's a lot of Bible. Read it every day. Mark it. Watch what happens. Then move on to the... Watch what happens. Watch what happens to the spiritual strength. The words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. I love the thought. This is the only thing you do that gives you life on this earth is reading. I hope it encourages you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray that please this be you. Encourage each person. Lord, the exhortation.